are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, that's where you're at this afternoon at this point in time. We're continuing with our Bible Corner, our topic or theme of the week. We've been looking at the second coming for this week, and we continue even this day, continuing to say, what does that have to do with you and me as we continue to look at this second coming of this Jesus? And as always, we're going to be joined in conversation as we go into this discussion with our pastor, Pastor Shepherd Mutakwa. You see, today we'll talk about the significance of the second coming message in relation to the framing of the Seventh-day Adventist faith. We'll also touch on how to avoid being deceived by so-called Christ appearing in different places. Remember, in Matthew 24, Christ says, be careful that many will come in my name. And their objective, their goal is to deceive many. And that's a beautiful text and can be interpreted in so many ways. But one of them is that they will come saying that they are the Christ, right? And so we're going to be looking at that, but also in the context of how Adventists, I mean, they even the boldness, right? They even went and claimed the name, the Advent, the coming as part of their own identity. So we're going to be having that discussion this afternoon. And joining us, as I said, is going to be our pastor, hoping that you too can come through in conversation. Send through your questions, your comments on +27734703520. Pastor Mutakwa, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, moderator, good afternoon, and how are you?
No, we're doing okay, Mfundisi. Trusting that you are also doing all right this afternoon.
Yeah, man. The Lord is blessing.
Hallelujah. Ah, we love to hear that. We love to hear that. It is His nature, after all, to bless us. Mfundisi, as we jump into today's conversation, can you help us understand how the teaching of the second coming helped to shape SDA theology, SDA denomination as a movement altogether? I mean, like we were just saying in the introduction, they even then went as far as adopting this identity of the coming of Christ. Talk to us a bit about how that came about.
Right, thank you so much. We probably could begin with a short prayer.
Yes, sir.
We can pray. Our loving Father, our God in heaven, we thank you for yet an opportunity like this one, this Thursday afternoon, as we again go into this study. We pray for your wisdom, for your understanding, that we may do everything in accordance with you.
Amen.
Be with the listeners and the moderator. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, moderator, this is a very loaded question, very loaded. I don't want to lie to you. Let me begin first by reading the text from the book of Revelation.
Okay.
Chapter 10, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, you must profess again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. This is an angel that comes to John. He's holding a little book,
mm-hmm.
and he's asking John to eat the book, which will be as sweet as honey in the mouth. But as it gets to the stomach, it's going to be bitter. Mm. And I know it's actually a lot of it has a lot and a great information, which we can't discuss this particular time.
Okay.
But
okay.
Now, yeah. But now, what I want to talk about in relation to your question. The Seventh-day Adventist Church traces its origin back in around 1800s during the time of what is called the Millerites, during the time of William Miller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
William Miller was born somewhere around 15th of February 1782 in Massachusetts, that is in the United States of America. He grew up in New York, and this one, his education was not really formal, apart from him educating himself by entirely reading books from a local library. So we see him becoming a farmer and also serving in the war in 1812 and coming back to farming. And eventually, he started developing interest in studying the Word of God.
Okay.
Remember, he comes from a background of being a deist. He was in deism, a belief of some supreme God, but this God is not in control or does not intervene in anything. But around 1816, he converted to Christianity and became a Baptist. And what did we see? He dedicated the whole of his time studying the Word of God, studying the Bible at the age of 50.
Hmm.
And at 1831, he began to preach seriously. And in his study, he came across Daniel chapter 8 verse 14. This Daniel chapter 8 verse 14 was talking about until 2300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. When him and his colleagues studied that prophecy, they came to a conclusion that this prophecy, which begins far way back from 457 BC, going on the way up to 1844, it simply means Christ is coming in 1840. And they began to preach that message, to speak about that one. And when they spoke about that message, it was not until 1844 autumn, around October 22, when they waited for Christ and Christ didn't come. And what happened there, there was a great disappointment.
Okay.
Now they had to study further, and also through the spirit of prophets by Ellen White in early writings, and also the View and Herald Association somewhere around 1882, where she writes to say, in the early morning hours, Hiram Edison and a few others went out to his barn to pray. And as they prayed, he felt assured that light would come. A little later, as Edison and a friend were crossing a cornfield to visit the fellow Adventists, it seemed as if a hand touched his shoulder. He looked up to see as if in a vision the heavens opened, and Christ in the heavenly sanctuary entering into the most holy place, there to begin a work of ministry in behalf of his people. And instead of coming forth from the most holy place to cleanse the world with fire, as they had thought. So what now they discovered through praying and everything they studied, that Christ went into the holy of holies to begin the ministry described in the book of Hebrew, where he has gone to heaven to be on the right hand side of the Father to mediate upon us, upon our sins. Now, the name Seventh-day Adventist or Adventist comes from this situation where they were waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. An Advent is a person who waits for the coming of Jesus Christ. When we put the word seventh day, we are talking about a group of people who worship on the seventh day of the week, according to the Bible. So when we combine the two, we are talking about a group of people who are keeping the Sabbath,
okay,
and who are also waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go direct to its implication on the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Okay.
Remember, this name around 1863 there, that's when this name, this organization got reorganized and the name came about. Now, in our fundamental belief, in the doctrine number 6 of the Seventh-day Adventist belief, in the doctrine of last things, but
yes,
fundamental belief number 25. This one talks about the second of coming of Christ as actually a blessed hope for the church of the Seventh-day Adventist. It actually puts into perspective the man of Christ's return, like the way you alluded earlier on. It talks about the righteous will be resurrected and changed together with the living and are taken to heaven. And now, the almost complete fulfillment of actual prophecy, together with what present is coming on, what we are seeing in the world, the signs of his coming, and so forth. So now we need to understand and know that this whole of this issue of the second coming, in its teaching, what does it help us? It is a fundamental doctrine that helps us to shape our theology. The theology is the study of God. Now, what are we talking about? It talks about the doctrine of hope. It inspires us to have hope that Christ is coming for the second time. We call it as a bedrock of faith. It encourages the SDAs to steadfastly endure life's challenges. You see, they have been singing about the coming of Christ for a long period of time. And the people talk about it, others mock others, and we are passing through death and all these things. But this one gives us an assurance and a hope that makes sense, because he promised that this would be the situation. Furthermore, moderator, it is about sanctification. Okay. With the return of Christ in mind, sanctification becomes crucial in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. SDAs strive to live a life of obedience and righteousness, preparing for Christ's return. That is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 to 3, it says actually, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Mm-hmm. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him mm-hmm. purifies himself just as he is pure. So it borders, this second coming issue, borders on sanctification of the Seventh-day Adventist membership. Then when we can talk about the Sabbath, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12, which says, moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, mm-hmm. that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. When we talk about the second coming, it amplifies the importance of Sabbath observance. Keeping the Sabbath signifies loyalty to God. It means an attribute essential for the awaiting of Christ's return. This is why we are called Seventh-day Adventists. Keeping the Sabbath together with waiting for the second coming of Christ. Keeping the Sabbath also implies a day in which God himself referred to as a day that we must worship on. So Adventism, moderator, and mm-hmm. Seventh-day Adventism can't be separated. It will not make sense, because our worship will not make sense when we don't look forward to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Further.
Mfundisi, before you go further, I'm hoping that I want to make clear. I don't want us to go deep into just studying the Sabbath in general. We've had the week for that. We wanted to have it as it pertains to the Seventh-day Adventist movement. And you mentioned some things that I would want us to clarify before we go deep into why the Sabbath is important. We've been doing that the whole week. And like you're saying, in chapter 25, which we did about 2-3 weeks ago, right here as a fundamental belief. This idea of Sabbath worship, you mention, not of Sabbath worship rather, but of the second coming, which is our topic in actual fact. You mention how I don't know if it's the former movement, because according to your words, when you then mentioned there at the end that they were keeping the Sabbath, and that's why they then put the name Seventh-day Adventist and waiting for Christ. So they were keeping the Sabbath and waiting for Christ, which is the Millerite movement. So are we saying that the Seventh-day Adventist is basically the Millerite movement, or are these two separate movements? Number one. Number two is to then say, if they are the Millerite movement, you mentioned how, in actual fact, you said 1844 is when they were expecting Christ, according to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 8. But actually, they had calculated 1843. 1843
yes.
was a failure. It didn't happen.
Yes.
They then said, no, we did a wrong calculation. They changed the date. It's 1844. 1844 yes. was also another failure. And then they said, no, actually, we miscalculated again. It's not the coming of Christ. It's now, like you're saying, the Hiram Edson saying, no, it's about something totally different. And then they stopped putting dates on this one here. Now, the Bible, Christ, his own word says, no one knows the day, the hour. And one would have thought,
yes.
1843, they fail. They should have realized, none of it, we're on the wrong path. 1844, they fail. Surely it should have someone who said, guys, we've been doing this for the second time now. Surely we are on the wrong path. But here they are, 1863. They then say, let's adopt the name and put it as our name. We are Adventists. We are waiting for the second coming of Christ. One would think they would have shied away totally from holding on to this idea of a second coming of Christ and being so expectant. Why is that they've held on to this? Whereas it should actually be, some would say, a point of shame for them.
No, moderator. First of all, what you must understand is that even William Miller himself was not an Adventist. First, he was a Baptist. The Sabbath truth was discovered later on as they kept on praying and studying. Now, what you need to understand is that in the process of studying, what they understood is that Christ was going to come for the second time. But he was not.
But you don't need to study. Sorry, Mfundisi. You don't need to study to understand that. That is clear in the scripture. Many passages, I mean, say it verbatim, exactly that he is going to come again. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Now, after study, they are putting, the issue here is about putting dates and being expectant as though this coming is so imminent.
No. At the time, what you have to understand is that at the time when they had put the date,
mm-hmm.
they had not reached those levels. of understanding the word to that extent. Even in this issue of the Sabbath was not properly known to them.
No, the Sabbath, let's not conflate issues for our listeners' sake, Mfundisi. Let's deal with the second coming. The Sabbath, we'll see it another time. Mfundisi, you're saying they had not understood that you can't put dates? I mean, Christ had said it clearly. No one knows the day, the hour?
No, they had not understood this. This is why, where they are beginning to come from, where is beginning to study from, the difficulties that William Miller faces as he's doing this study, mm-hmm. as they are studying that prophecy. You see, God kept on shining light upon them as they kept on studying and understanding. And more light, even through Ellen White, kept on coming until they had to understand that they are not supposed to put a debt. It was wrong for them to have put a debt.
Then is it possible then that even today is the Seventh-day Adventist movement, like you're saying, with this expectant approach to the second coming, could they then be that they are still to study and realize, no, we shouldn't be so expectant? Is it possible that that light might come again as they continue to study?
No. All what we need to know, most of it has been written. The expectance that we should be found in us is simply to believe and trust God's word that Jesus is coming back again. But the setting of a date, there is nowhere, because I tackled that part during the week where we read to say not even the Son of Man knows.
Which is why I'm worried about these Adventists, Mfundisi. Today we are focusing it on the Adventists, and I'm saying, could it be then their expectation, their approach to this second coming, could be needing some more study?
No, suddenly Jesus is coming.
No one is doubting that. 100%, no one is doubting.
He's coming. Yeah, and that is what the Adventist is studying, and that's what the Adventism is preaching about.
Okay.
Nothing else apart from that. That is what that's the message of the Adventists. The three angels' message borders on that, on the coming of Christ. So this is what we are teaching in the Seventh-day Adventists. Nothing like setting days or anything out. It may take long. We don't know up to when. But the date and the hour, we don't know it. But signs, moderator, indicated to us he's about to come. What we are seeing now was the same way, are the same things that we are seeing in Sodom and in Gomorrah, were the same things that we are seeing during the time of Lot. That's what we are seeing, and these are the signs Christ gave even the disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem. He never told them that it's going to take place in AD 7. He gave them clues, signs that they must see, and then their preaching must be intensified.
Maybe in a minute or so, I know that my time, I'm really abusing you here, trying to have you squeeze this whole part into 1 minute. But maybe in a minute, you are addressing now the idea of signs. Christ mentions this concept of a false Christ that will be claiming to be Jesus, and we see a couple of them coming through, and their idea, apparently their mission is to deceive. How can we then know that this one is fake, this one is right, this preacher is fake, this preacher is wrong, this lesson is correct, this one is... How can we then guard against this deception? Because everyone seems to be on the right path and can prove from Scripture their position.
Well, if they can prove from their Scripture, from their position, what we need to know is that the Scripture is not only one piece of verse,
okay.
And then you just dwell on it.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 24 gives a proper outline of how Jesus shall come.
Uh-huh.
And where even Jesus, I actually dealt with it even during the week with the other moderator.
Mm-hmm.
And how the signs, the warnings that Jesus gave, that when you hear that he's in the desert, don't go there. Is it Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, which says, as the sun rises from the east towards the west, so shall the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man be. So now, even if we can hear from all these others, even whatever portion they may quote, as long as it is not in line with the manner in which Jesus said he would come, forget about them. That is where we must understand. Forget about them. Our interest should be to study what did Jesus say about the manner of his coming. That is what we must understand. When we understand that, we are on the right track. This is why, with me, who is an ardent Bible, I mean a person who studies the Bible, we have heard even in Zambia that Christ is in Kitwe. I know that that's not the correct. We have heard that he's in Kenya, Nairobi. Even showing on the TV, that is the one. Is that the way they say the... He's going to come? No. That is contradicting the Bible. So this second coming thing, as far as the SDA is concerned, they interpret it properly. The hour and the time when Christ is coming is not known. He is coming like a thief. A thief. We don't know when the thief arrives. That's why we put Barabbas.
Because it can happen any moment.
In the house where I am, an electric wire fence on top and everything. All this is to put a precaution that the thief may not come inside. We are to also get ready and wait for Christ as he's going to come, because we don't know when. This is the message, moderator, the SDA is preaching. This is makes the Seventh-day Adventist different from the rest of the other preachings. We preach a Christ who is coming real. Though we may have made a mistake from the Millerite to have set a date, but as they started on, they discovered that no. None of us should set a date. That's why in our churches today, you will never hear a correct preacher, a true preacher preaching that Jesus is coming in 2025. That one, at that pulpit, we must ask him to sit down because he's the wrong preacher.
Hey, Mfudisi, sadly our time is out. I would have wanted to hear your thoughts on the 2027 movement that is currently doing the circles in Seventh-day Adventists again. But unfortunately, our time is out. Thank you so much, Muruti, for the lesson today.
God bless you.
We will have another edition, the final edition, as we wrap up our topical belief, our topical corner, rather the Bible corner, about Jesus' second coming tomorrow. But for today, thank you once again.
Thank you, shalom to the viewers.
Amen.
And the listeners, sorry.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That is Mfundisi, Pastor Shepherd Mutakwa there, talking to us about the second coming. He once heard about a Jesus in Kenya and in Kitwe, right there in Zambia. And he was like, I'm not going there because I know my Jesus doesn't come like that.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.